We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Governor Chafee, you initiated the lawsuit that has recovered a lot of the money that taxpayers owed for the failure of 38 studios. But I wonder, here in 2017, right now, would you support an independent probe of how the 38 studios deal came about?
Yes, absolutely. But I would say that there's bigger scandals out there that are happening right now. And I'd rather see a scrutiny of how we got into the hedge funds under former Treasurer Raimondo. These ended up being high-fee, low-performing investments of our tax dollars, our pension fund dollars. And all that work that went into pension reform, raising the age of retirement, the COLA suspension, the hybrid plan that was instituted, are compromised by that poor performance of this hedge fund. And it's much more. It's half a billion dollars that we lost compared to what, in the end, after getting the $60 million back that I got back in the lawsuit, would we lose $10, $15 million? This is half a billion, $500 million we lost in investing in hedge funds.
The proposal for a new Pawsox Stadium in Pawtucket appears dead, at least for now. I wonder, how do you come down on that proposal? Do you support that proposal, or do you think Governor Raimondo took the right position there by not supporting it?
I don't think Governor Raimondo took a position, and her team negotiated it. And then she told the mayor of Pawtucket, Mayor Grebian, that she supported it on a Friday, and by Monday she'd withdrawn her support. And that's kind of what we've seen over the last 2 years.
Well, let's talk about you. What about you? Do you support that proposal or not?
I'm very consistent. And I ran for governor in 2010 at a press conference saying I do not believe in corporate welfare. And the owners of the Pawtucket Red Sox are very, very wealthy people. Many of them were Rhode Islanders and now live in Florida to avoid the Rhode Island taxes. And I'm always willing to help a company with a road or a sewer line or a water line or infrastructure they might need if they're going to employ people. But I'm very, very conservative when it comes to corporate welfare.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, you're the last guy who ought to take any blame for 38 Studios. You're probably the only politician who is very forthright and against it. However,
very early on, first day I came out, wait a second, Curt Schilling, a baseball player?
I agree. Look, I agree. But here's where I wonder, and what I want to ask you is, you know, right after the banking crisis, there was accountability. And one of the reasons was because Governor Sundland, at that point, convened a commission with the legislature. He also appointed the Vartan Gregorian Commission. Gregorian, you'll recall, was president of Brown University. And I'm wondering why, as governor, after the bankruptcy, you never did any such thing like that.
Well, he instituted the lawsuit. And yes, there were 10,000 pages, Scott.
Yeah,
10,000 pages of depositions. What more could you ask for? 10,000 pages of everybody being deposed what they said on the record.
Yes.
Open. And Max Wisdom, my attorney, let's open. There was no redaction or no withdrawn and none lost. You had it all.
Yes, but we didn't have a series of, say, televised hearings that would have been open to everybody in the state, and you didn't put people with subpoena power under oath. I mean, that's a big difference, because a lot of these folks all of a sudden concocted some different stories after the thing crashed and burned.
Well, my belief was it wasn't a criminal. It was stupid. And that's always been my belief. It was a bad investment, a stupid investment, but it wasn't criminal. And I instituted the lawsuit instead. Rather than having a dog and pony show, I wanted to get the taxpayers' money back. And I did. And Ian said it, $60 million we got back.
Governor Chafee, you've made clear a bit earlier that you're not a big fan of Governor Raimondo, but she has had some success in bringing jobs to Rhode Island, General Electric Digital, Johnson & Johnson, a series of other companies. How would you respond to critics who say that she's been a much more muscular steward of the economy than you were as governor?
Well, you mentioned the biggest corporate welfare recipients, General Electric and Johnson & Johnson. Imagine taking our hard-earned taxpayer dollars and shoveling them, and how much cost per job after you do the math? I don't think it's muscular at all. I think it's short-term, just exactly what the New York Times said, short-term thinking. And all she does is want to get some cranes in the air, and she doesn't care how much it costs.
Should Rhode Island unilaterally disarm when most other states use these same kinds of economic incentives to spur job growth?
Well, I shared the New York Times study. They did a three-part study on these incentives, and they said they're foolhardy, senseless, and short-sighted. And they said it doesn't work. They do not work, these programs. And that's the way I believe.
Rhode Island would be better off.
Especially not to Johnson & Johnson and General Electric.
Rhode Island.
So they can have another jet or another house in the Hamptons.
Rhode Island would be better off without GE Digital and Johnson & Johnson?
They'll come when you have good schools. Rhode Island's a great history of economic prosperity in our history. And we were talking earlier about Brown and Sharpe and Gorham Silver and all the great history we have here. And there's no doubt about our natural beauty in this state. And if you provide the infrastructure, they'll come. And that was proven when I was mayor of Warwick.
One quick question on marijuana legalization. It's back up at the State House. We know Massachusetts is going to legalize marijuana next July 2018. What would your policy be towards marijuana? How should we deal with it?
Before we go there, Scott, can I just finish that one line on this corporate welfare issue? When I was mayor, there was a company that came into the mayor's office and asked for big subsidies. And I said, no, we don't do that. And they left, closed their briefcases and left. But they came back a month later and said, that's what we like. Everybody's going to be treated the same.
And
they
built which company was it?
Beacon Mutual.
Okay.
And they did build a building. They do employ 200 people.
Right.
Again, so I have experience
but that's
playing
state
tough with somebody. It was tough to tell them no.
Beacon Mutual was also a state-created entity that probably couldn't be anywhere but Rhode Island, if you think about it.
They could have been in Johnston or Newport. They came to Warwick. They liked the way we do business. To the marijuana question, yes, it is coming. There's a revenue source. I've talked in the past about our infrastructure, and this might be one good way to get rid of the truck tolls. I think the truck tolls are going to be overturned in court and then be left again in another Rhode Island debacle. After all the work's been done, the money's been spent, we don't have the revenue. So if I were the General Assembly, I'd look very closely at a dedicated stream of this marijuana money going towards infrastructure and getting rid of the truck tolls.
Pot for potholes?
That's what I call it. Yes, you remember that.
The Raimondo administration hopes to launch in July a new $20 million DMV computer system. This whole effort was launched many years ago by your predecessor, Don Carcheri. So you did not initiate this process, but nor was this process finished during your time in office. The time grew longer and the costs increased. How come?
Well, we did get wait times down at the DMV. And
I'm talking about the computer system.
Yes, but we'll say I would visit the DMV frequently and work with the employees there. How are our wait times? And that's what it's all about, keeping our wait times down. And now this computer system, as you said, has been going on for years, it seems. It's a Hewlett-Packard system. We even got Meg Whitman, the CEO of this monstrous billion-dollar company, to come to DMV to talk to the employees, saying we're committed to making this work. So I went right to the top. And let's just hope when they turn the switch, it's a lot better than UHIP.
And we're almost out of time here, but back in February, you told an interviewer that you thought President Trump was doing the right thing by trying to forge closer ties with Russia. There are some people who say that Vladimir Putin is no friend of the U.S., and it's a little naive to think that Russia is a friend of the U.S. What do you say?
When you're strong militarily, economically, culturally, as United States of America. I mean, there's really militarily, who's in second place? And once I asked at a hearing when I was senator, and the general said the United Kingdom, and he had to think for a while. When you're that strong, you should have the confidence to reach out to other countries and try and build relations, just as Reagan and Gorbachev did, and Nixon and Deng Xiaoping and Mao, and ping pong teams and goodwill games and all these things that build relations, and that's how we had Glasnost and Perestroika and all those good things that happened. And now we've gotten away from it, and seems like all we talk about is more war, war, war. And as Churchill said, jaw, jaw, jaw is much better.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And former Governor Lincoln Chafee.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Scott.